Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be studying from 2 Kings chapter 4 this morning, if you'll be turning your Bible there, 2 Kings chapter 4. And while you're getting your Bible and getting ready, we are so grateful that we can study together, but we long for the day that we're back together. I've seen many of you in passing and want you to know that we miss being together and we miss our time in fellowship, in spiritual fellowship, worshiping our God. And we know that that's God's plan for us to be together. That's God's desire. And so we want to look forward to the day that we can be back together praising Him and serving Him. In 2 Kings chapter 4, if you will, begin reading with me at about verse 8, and we'll read down through about verse 27. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand, and so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite woman." When he has called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' She answered, 'I dwell among my own people.' So he said, 'What then is to be done for her?' And Gehazi answered, 'Actually, she has no son, and her husband is old.' So he said, 'Call her.' When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, 'About this time next year, you shall embrace a son.' And she said, 'No, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant.' But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said to his father, 'My head, my head.' So he said to his servant, 'Carry him to his mother.' And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, 'Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back.' So he said, 'Why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath.' And she said, 'It is well.' Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, 'Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you.' And she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to his servant Gehazi, 'Look, the Shunammite woman. Please run now down to meet her and say to her, "Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." At this particular time, I think we could ask many questions about our spiritual life. And I believe it's good for us to stop and to ask ourselves, are we growing spiritually? One might look back over the past few months, and in particular the last month, where we have been isolated and we've been with just our family, and yet ask the question, have I grown spiritually? Have I done more to observe the greatness of God and to observe the God that I love and glorify Him? And can I say that I have grown in a spiritual manner? Then someone might look back right now, and not only at their past life, but notice their present life, and ask, what plans do I have for spiritual growth now? And then one can lift up their eyes and look to the future and say, what do I have planned to grow in the future? But there's one very important question that I think we can all stop and ask. And that is the question, is it well with my soul? Now, we often sing that song, and that's my son Jackson's favorite song, "It Is Well With My Soul." But we need to sometimes rephrase that and make that a question, is it well with my soul? I want you to know that in the text that I just read to you, you'll find that Elisha had talked to this woman from Shunem. And she was identified as a notable woman. And she showed hospitality to the man of God, the prophet of God. And you'll recall that she requested to her husband that they build a little room so that when he was passing by, he'd have a place to stay. Here was a man that traveled. Here was a man that did not have all the accommodations that we have today. He didn't have all the necessities met. And this woman said, we can show hospitality, we can meet his necessities, and we can accommodate him. Let's build a little room, and her husband consented. And you'll recall that Elisha, after he saw all that she'd done, said, well, what can I do for you? He was grateful for her hospitality. And he said, what is it you desire? A visit with the king, perhaps? And she said, no, I'm content to dwell with my people. And then you remember Gehazi, Elisha's servant, saw that she had no child. And you remember Elisha told the woman that in a year's time that a child would be born to her. And she did not believe him at that time and said, no, don't lie to your maidservant. You're a man of God. But you'll recall that that prophecy came to be fulfilled and she had a child. But then as you read on, you'll find where the child was out with his father. And the child all of a sudden said his head was hurting. And you remember the father sent him to his mother. I've often thought about how often when a child is hurting, he wants his mother. And notice the Bible said that he sat on her knees till noon and died. But notice what that woman does. She takes the child up, lays him on the prophet's bed, and then she gets the donkey and a servant, and she says she's going to meet the prophet. And notice that the husband asked a question in 2 Kings chapter 4. He said, why are you going now? It's neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And notice her answer. It is well. She doesn't say, your son is dead. We don't know if he even knows that at this time. It doesn't appear that way. But even if he does, notice her statement of great faith. It is well. Then observe when Gehazi comes down to meet her off Mount Carmel as she's ascending the hill. He asked, is it well with your husband? Is it well with you? Is it well with the child? And that woman said, it is well. I thought about that statement. That showed not only her faith in God, but that showed that she believed that her right relationship with God was right and that her family's relationship with God was right. To be able to say, it is well. But then you'll recall that when she gets to the top of the mountain, she grabs Elisha by the feet, and Gehazi's about to push her away, and you remember Elisha says, leave her alone. And he says that her soul is in deep distress. And you remember she said in verse 28, she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? But you'll remember that Gehazi goes back, and then later Elisha goes back, and they raise the boy from the dead. But what I'm interested in for our study at this particular time is the question, can we say it is well with our soul? The first thing I want us to think about, what it means for all to be well with our soul. It means that we're different than we were before. The first thing we must recognize is that we are no longer living in the world. We're no longer chasing worldly pursuits. But now that we are a child of God, that means it's well with our soul. That doesn't mean it may be well with us physically. We have a lot in the congregation right now who are dealing with physical ailments and problems and troubles. We've got a lot of people who have a lot of ailments that they're dealing with on a constant basis. And so I'm not talking about physically, though that is very important, and I do not minimize that one bit. But I want to raise the question spiritually because that is of the utmost importance. And if you're not different than you were before, you've not put on Christ in baptism, you're not living for Christ, then you cannot say it is well with your soul. Open your Bible to the Ephesian letter and the second chapter. And when the Apostle Paul penned the letter to the church at Ephesus, he writes to them about what they were before they became children of God. He said in verse 12, he said, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. He said, having no hope. and without God in the world. That's what you were. He said you did not have Christ, you did not have God, you did not have hope. You were an alien to God. You were a stranger to His covenant. You've not entered into a covenant relationship with God. And He said you were lost. You stood condemned. You had no hope of eternal life. If you died in that condition, you would be lost for eternity, separated from a loving God for all eternity, condemned to a place of torment. But notice what He said in contrast to that in verse 13. But now they've changed. In Christ Jesus, you who are once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. They have become children of God. They were born again. At one time, they were under the influence of the devil, the influence of the world, the influence of ungodliness. But now they are under the influence of the Prince of Life. They are under the King of Jesus. But I'll tell you something else. How one becomes right with God is through a blood covenant. Now, under the old law, it was through circumcision. But through the new law, how does one become right with God? It's through baptism. In John chapter 3 and verse 3 through 5, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. And He says in verse 5, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, one cannot inherit the kingdom of God. One will not see the kingdom of God. So I need to come in contact with the blood. Well, look in the Ephesian letter and the first chapter. And when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, he tells them that one needs to come in contact with the blood of Christ. He said in verse 3 that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Look at that statement, in Him. All the people that are in Him are the chosen of God. They're the elect of God. They're set aside for God. They're His people who have been what? In Christ. And notice He said they've been predestined to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. Then drop down to verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. So when one is baptized, one enters into a covenant relationship with God. It washes away their sin. It puts away all their past. It raised, as Paul says in Romans 6:4, to walk in newness of life. They're now a creature of Christ, no longer a slave to sin and of the devil, but a son of God, as is brought out in Romans 8. They're adopted. And one can say, it's well with my soul because I'm a child of God. Well, let's break that down. Can husbands say today, it is well with my soul? How many husbands at O'Neill can stand up and say that they're growing spiritually, that they're living for Christ, they're dedicated to the cause, they're leading their family the way they should be leading their family, and they're loving their spouse the way they should be loving their spouse, as Paul brought out in Ephesians 5, the way Christ loved the church, and they're doing that which glorifies God day in and day out? Can we say it is well with our soul? Are we involved in our children's spiritual growth? Are we involved in our spouse's spiritual growth? Are we trying to teach them the truth? Do we provide for them and fill our obligations as a husband? I like the question that Elisha asked. He said, is it well with your husband? Now, he was meaning physically, but spiritually, can it be said it's well with us? But that question can be raised to wives. Is it well with you? Are you at peace with God? Have you obeyed the gospel? And the questions that were true of the husband are true of the wife. Are you a member of the body of Christ? Have you had your sins blotted out and been added to the family of God? Have you been immersed for the redemption of your sin, from the redemption of your past, to be raised up to walk a new life dedicated to Christ? I want to know, wives, are you fulfilling your obligation? Are you setting the right example before your children and for your husband? Sometimes we forget that everybody has a role in the home life, and I want to know, my friend, are we fulfilling the role God has given us? And are we growing spiritually? Can we say spiritually, it is well with my soul? But young men and young ladies, that's an important question for you. In the book of Ecclesiastes, in the 12th chapter and verse 1, the writer said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. when your heart is young and tender, that's a time to remember God. And do you avoid the evils of this world? Do you pray daily? Are you an example to others? You remember what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4? When Paul was writing, he told Timothy, do not let others despise your youth. He said, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Young men and young ladies, are you doing that which you're growing spiritually? Sometimes we're worried about education, and that's rightfully so. Sometimes we're worried about other things in life, about getting our license, about going places, about doing things, where we're going to go to college. All those things are commendable, good things to be concerned about. But the most important thing, young men and young ladies, are you prepared spiritually to meet God? I heard about a young man not too long ago in West Tennessee, just a young fellow. And I'll tell you, my friend, with a snap of a finger, our life can be taken away. And the question will be, is it well with your soul? But that raises a question to those who are older, to those who are up in years. Sometimes we look forward to the day that we get that watch and we're retired and we can just go sit in the sunset. And I'll tell you, my friend, we look at that as the grand years of life. They call it the golden years of life. But I'll tell you, my friend, that's the time we need to make sure that spiritually we're right with God. Sometimes I'm fearful grandparents aren't setting the right example for their grandchildren. They give them everything they want. They don't treat them like they need to with discipline and love. And many times, my friend, we need to remember love's not spelled M-O-N-E-Y. It's often spelled T-I-M-E. And we don't take time to spend with our grandchildren and children. Can I say it as well with myself? Am I right with God? You know, the apostles all wrote when they wrote, that you need to be prepared to meet God. Today is the day of salvation. But that brings up something else. Have you ever thought the folly of not being well with God? If your soul's not right with God, the danger of being lost. And what you need to do is just stop and think of the folly of your soul not being right with God. You will miss all that the soul of man desires. To be condemned, to hear the word, depart, I never knew you, is the saddest phrase in the divine revelation. And one we all need to do, let each one, including the preacher, stop and consider the question, is it well with my soul? I'll tell you something. If you've not put Christ on in baptism, you can't say it's well with your soul. And we've got everything here. We've got water in the baptistry. We've got clothing. We've got everything you need. Where if you just want to meet at the building and be baptized for the remission of your sins, to be added to the body of Christ and enjoy every spiritual blessing, we'd meet you. Or if you're not growing spiritually and you're dying, you're starting to lose your faith, you're not growing in love and in maturity, and you're not coming closer to Christ, and you need for us to pray with and for you, we'll do whatever we can to encourage you. You think about the importance of being right with God. How important your soul is that Christ died for it. And He left us His word to guide us. And the question is it well with your soul? Could you sing that this morning and really mean it? Or would it be a lie? Is it well with your soul? Thank you for studying with us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful for the many blessings of life. We're so thankful that we have the opportunity to become your children through obedience to your word and through the blood that your Son shed upon Calvary's cross. That we can be adopted, that we can be added, that we can become your children by being born again. We're thankful, Father, for every blessing we receive at your merciful hand. We're grateful that we can be added, and we're thankful that we can be growing in our faith and growing in maturity and growing to love you more each day. We pray that you help us, Father, in that endeavor, that it will be well with our soul. In Jesus' name.